Let me bring in our hypnotist, Marshall Silver.
It's Marshall Silver, ladies and gentlemen, the world's fastest hypnotist.
Hello there and welcome. Life is good. I'm Marshall Silver, your personal millionaire maker. Excited to be with you today for a lot of reasons. Number one, it's a glorious day filled with love, health, opportunity, and potential. There's heroes in the world. I want to get your opinion on something I just saw right before the broadcast started. A note from the Daily Mail, an anti-vaxxer nurse who injected 8,600 elderly patients. Anti-vaxxer nurse, she injected 8,600 elderly patients with salt water instead of the COVID vaccine. She just was acquitted in court in Germany, walked free, no charges. And I can tell you there's 8,600 elderly patients that are grateful for that person. What's your opinion? Is she a hero or did she commit a crime by not doing what she was ordered to do, give these people the vaccine? You know my opinion on it. And I'm so glad you're here. Hey, you know what? Life is short, and no matter what's going on in the world, no matter how crazy things get, bottom line is you still got to live, and you still need to figure things out. And one of the things that I love about the United States of America is we are capitalists. We are people that like being in business. And our guest today, I'm really excited to speak to for a lot of reasons. Many of you know that my daughter Prosperity launched her jewelry line, Prosperity Style, when she was about 7.5 years old. It's done remarkably well, thanks to you mostly. You guys support her. The jewelry's great. The logo's amazing. The whole business idea was her idea. And so I'm excited about the concept of people being able to launch whatever business they want at whatever age they want and have some great success. Today's guest is going to help you do just that. Amy Wenslow is a master of turning innovative ideas into successful market-ready products. With decades of experience, Amy has a profound understanding of what it takes to navigate the complex process of product design, manufacturing, global distribution. Entrepreneurs, inventors, or anybody interested in the life cycle of product development and then their journey to the marketplace will gain invaluable insights. Amy's going to offer you practical advice on everything from idea validation, prototype creation and development, to navigating the regulatory requirements and breaking into international markets. So that is a lot, and she's amazing. You're going to love her like some of the rest of my audience already said they love. I went to her website, and I had at least two students there that were giving her great reviews. So they're Marshall Silver student approved, and I love what I see. So I'm so excited to have this person on the broadcast. Please, a nice big Marshall Silver Live welcome to Amy Wenslow. Welcome home, Amy.
Well, hey there, Marshall. I'm so glad to be talking to you today. You know, I was at your Turning Point years ago. I don't think you remember this. It was in Northern California. Yeah,
it's been a minute. I kept looking at you on your webpage, and I said, I know this person. I've met this person in person. Where did I meet them? So Northern Cal, are you up near the Bay Area?
Yeah. No, awesome. I'm down in Lake Arrowhead, California, Rancho Cucamonga area. So
interesting.
But travel a lot, as you do, I'm sure.
Yes. So welcome home. Glad you're here. Excited to chat about products to profits. Talk to me a little bit about your history before we dive in to give everybody all the tidbits and nuggets we're going to give them today. Tell us about you.
You know, I really believe that creativity matters. And I loved what you said in your intro and some of your other episodes, because you're really talking about who we get to be as people. And that's at the core of what Products to Profits is really doing. Yes, we talk about products. Yes, we're expert at the things that make a product go from here to here. It's in service of our creativity on the planet, though, and who we get to be as humans. I love your point about your daughter, Prosperity, because I came from the jewelry industry. I actually was in the industry for 16 years and did a lot with jewelry design. My first company, we did jewelry design for the US market. And I really believe that where we are now in our culture, you literally, like, people can do anything we really decide and choose into. And I believe that business is probably the best personal development you will ever have, because it shows me everywhere that I have a block, where I stop, where I need to lean in, and where I have brilliance too. So my background is jewelry designer, painter, have worked on some of the largest lines that sold through QVC. We did $300 million in 3 years there.
Which lines do you work with?
That was Beverly Hills Gold. We've also got a couple.
Oh, yeah, they were huge.
Yeah, I was one of their product developers. So, you know, whenever a business is growing, I really believe the adage that, yes, it's a team. It's always a team.
And well, I like what you said right there. There's more to what you said, not just the team of it all. It's really successful retail brands, which is what we're talking about, product sales. Really successful retail brands are an extension of the person that launched that brand. Just like Prosperity Style, it's her style. I mean, this is the most stylish little girl I've ever met. I have one of my mentors, my first mentor ever, is the person that reinvented retail Halloween. Mm. So he's the guy that invented the concept. It used to be that when Halloween came around, people, at least in my demographic, would go to a costume store and we would rent our costume for 2 or 3 days, go to the party, then after the party, bring our costume back. And he's the guy who said, what if we only rented the space for 30 days? What if we found space that wasn't being used? And the first space he used was the garden department at the Sears store, because it closed down on September 30th. And he said, great, how about we just rent it during October when there's nothing in there? And the Halloween stores, and then it became Spirit, then it became Halloween. He launched that idea. And I watched him go from basically broke to $60 million net in the bank in 5 years. And so that idea of launching something that you have a heart for, so important.
Absolutely. And the environment we're in now in the United States and globally is really what's called omnichannel. So for anybody who's never heard that, doesn't know what it is, omnichannel is the ability to sell everywhere. And gone are the days of just doing retail or just doing wholesale or only selling on Amazon. You know, we predicted Amazon buying a retail distribution channel called Whole Foods 3 years in advance of when they did it. We actually have the recording of that. And I said it would make sense for them to do that, because what they were doing is they're buying exposure. They're buying the attention. They're buying the habit of we were already shopping there, right? And that third-party credibility and just buying the ready-made channel made sense. And now, Marshall, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's this big mashup between online going to offline and offline going to online, and then add in the sales platforms like Amazon, et cetera. And it gets really confusing for a lot of people very quickly. And that's what we unconfuse.
So tell me about your process. Somebody has a product. They believe in the product. They say, gosh, you know, how do I get this to market? What steps would you go through with that person?
Well, it comes down to what we call the four P's. You have the product, you have the price, the people, and the package. You know, when you look at all of those things, and then we add a fifth one that we call place. So if you think about the product, it's not just the physical product itself, right? It's the packaging of it. It's what it looks like, because the product actually has to look like it goes with the person you're trying to sell it to. and at the right price. So the steps that we go through are a little counterintuitive. A lot of people think make the product, have a bunch of inventory, and then go try to sell it. No, I know you're a fan of pre-sales. So are we.
Dry testing.
Yeah. Testing and dry run, as you call it. I think it was dry testing. What we do though is we'll dry test, not just in retailer conversations, but also online, or you can actually use AI. We use AI a lot. We've been in the tech and AI type of products, gosh, since 2011. So AI has been around a lot longer than most people think it has. So you can actually run focus groups with it. And there's some really, really cool strategies there that can save you a lot of time, a lot of money, and speed everything up and foster your creativity and give you better ideas at the same time. So we usually are looking at test the product, make sure that it fits with where we think it should sell. A lot of times we're realigning that. I'd say about 90% of the people we talk to were fixing something wrong with pricing or lack of profit margin. It can really tank your business if you don't fix it early. And then with packaging, we're looking at, does it fit? I'm looking at a couple projects. You want me to grab a couple samples?
Yeah, please. Yeah, share
with us. Let me do that. Sorry, I should have gotten them down.
No, good. It's extremely exciting. You know, one of the things that I love is the spontaneity of live broadcasts. On a pre-recorded broadcast, they cut stuff out. On a live broadcast, man, we're raw and naked and beautiful. That's what I like about this.
I know. I'm like, okay. So here's a couple things. So this is one of our clients. Nut Pods. They were Amazon Small Business of the Year the first year it was ever done. Wow. We did all the pricing strategy work, et cetera.
Talk about that for a bit, because I don't think people think about a product like that has pricing strategy. I think they go, oh, the market says it's this much. So talk to me about pricing strategy.
Well, in this one, Madeline, who's the founder, was actually thinking about, should she make it sweetened? Because everything in the market was sweetened. And I'm like, no, let's own unsweetened as a position for the product. And for the first years, that's what they did, right? Was just unsweetened. And that led the strategy and the logic behind that, Marshall, was that if we had it unsweetened, I knew that we could get Whole30 certification. And there was no creamer that was non-dairy, completely dairy-free, that would qualify. So this is no soy, no carrageenan, no dairy. It's almond and coconut based. It's amazing. It's my personal favorite one. So in thinking about the positioning, my strategy was, what's the space we can own, right? Where we can really craft a message that's super compelling. And so then you reinforce it with pricing. The pricing strategy here was, how do we be that little bit premium without being out of market? And then how are we going to produce it at the price that we need? Right. So it's okay. What's the real right price that we think it'll peg at? And then how do we meet our production demands? Right. Great example of that is Loop Rope. This one, this is the before, and then this is the after. So we redid all the packaging, because for anybody who's doing a product, please know that your packaging is creating a standard when people experience it. There's an energy to it, and it transmits your price strategy. Apple. I'm sure you understand what I mean about energy, right?
Yeah, for sure. But Apple would be a classic example of that. You know, the pomp and circumstance on the unboxing of any Apple product is exactly what you were just talking about. It's the presentation is as important as the product. And if something has value, you don't throw it in a plastic bag and staple it closed. If it has value, you lay it out properly so it can be displayed from the get-go as the beautiful thing that it is.
Right. And the visuals on something can absolutely communicate. So going back to Loop Rope here, the way that we used a CGI graphic to actually hold down the brand logo, right? So that it communicates speed, it communicates it's going to be easy and this looks like it's running away, right? But we're holding it down, communicates what the product actually does. right? And so think a little differently about how you're packaging things.
So what does that product do, by the way?
Oh, this is a bungee cord tie down product. Like my husband and I use this every year for our Christmas tree. We throw a Christmas tree up on a Jeep Grand Cherokee and tie it down with this faster than most people can get the twine unwound.
Right? I love it.
So yeah, it's a great product. And so thinking about the product, the packaging, the way it looks, the way it feels is really important to the price.
Where do you, are you in the business of product sales yourself, or are you in the business these days of assisting people that have products, or both?
I have an equity stake in some things. We do both. And we have a few new projects that I'm so excited about. So I want to expand the definition of product, because most people now in the online business space could also think about their program as a product. And that's absolutely legitimate to do. So one of the things that I'd really encourage everybody to consider and look at is AI, the use of ChatGPT, how you're implementing that. Marshall, the data is actually showing that of the businesses that are using ChatGPT at all, right, 25% of them are estimating right now that they've already saved over $75,000. That's since August to January, right? 75K. So if you're not stepping in on it, you really have to, because the gap between the businesses that are using it and the ones that aren't is just going to get bigger.
Awesome. What do you think are the best product types for people to be launching right now?
Oh my gosh. Baby and pet products always do well. People will spend on their kids and their pets before they spend on themselves. So whenever there's a pullback in spending, those are still going to be pretty recession-proof. I would really recommend that. And then keep in mind that the pace of iteration is changing, right? You're seeing it speeding up of all different kinds of technology advances and how you sell things. So
technology begets technology, success begets success. So yeah, everything is speeding up. That is for sure. Obviously, you know, it's a showbiz adage. You want to create an appeal, add animals and kids. That's all you got to do. Put animals and kids on stage and everybody will love you. What about products outside of that sector? Are you seeing a big boom? I mean, products like CBD or all natural fibers that, you know, people are conscious. Obviously, the nut milks are huge with the kinds of allergies that people are experiencing in this day and age.
Yeah, CBD is a really interesting one, because a lot of ad platforms, you can't advertise directly. There's different restrictions on the products. Shopify-based websites are continuing to go really strong. Amazon, really strong, of course. But Amazon's fees have been, you know, going up, and every fourth quarter, they go up massively. So right now—
What are really they right now?
It runs about 35% of the product. So
every sale you make, you pay Amazon 35%?
Approximately. And that's not counting maybe advertising dollars in there, depending on what your ad budget is. So if you sell a $10 product, you would normally see that the cost of goods on that is going to be about between $2 and $4, preferably more like the $2 to $3. And then when you think about $350 coming off the price.
So that's $650. Plus you got ad costs of $1.50 or $2. Right. You're at $850. So maybe you're making 10% margin.
Our clients typically make more like 42. So
how do they do that if they're already paying out 35? What's your magic?
Well, we have a few things that we do that actually boost your profit margins because of the perception of the product, the legitimacy of the product, the brand equity that you build. And also sometimes we can save on some of the production costs because we may have a little bit more leverage with factories. So we can actually create a little bit bigger gap. And what your margin is really going to be depends on where you're trying to sell. So it's really important to make those kind of decisions rather than just running around willy-nilly at things.
There's so many components to what you do. And obviously you've talked about being omni-channel and making sure that you're attacking it from every single angle. But what is there a forte in your strategy? Is there certain things that you say you got to do this? You know, you got to create auto ship. You got to create subscription base. You got to figure out a way to get a customer returning.
Yeah.
You got to figure out how to add to the cart and increase each individual sale. What are some of those strategies that you guys focus on?
I'm really intrigued and intent on having the business owner become a business leader. We work a lot with small businesses that are looking to expand, that are looking to scale, as well as startups. And then we have some clients that are turnarounds. And usually there's a leadership problem. And it's in the human seat, right? So first off, becoming a really great leader of your business is really important. That means being able to cast a vision and enroll people into the vision that serves who they want to be in the world as well. And also being able to look forward thinking enough to say, okay, yeah, we got to adopt AI. We've got to look in these pieces. Subscription is really important when it comes to your sales. So related to the sales of the product, here are the keys. Great messaging. I mean, really great on point messaging that's on brand, that sounds like you. So if you're using AI, please do yourself the favor and learn how to incorporate your brand identity into how you're prompting AI. Otherwise, we're all going to sound like robots and it's going to be completely boring very fast. Okay. We want you to sound like the best version of your company and your principles and what you stand for. So that brand message, super important. Subscriptions, the conversion from a first-time purchase into a subscription, really important if it's a consumable product like this, right? And then if you have a single product, you're going to need to expand your product line out into multiple things that may be related to it for the same market. And if you've got a ton of products, right, like your brain just goes wild. Like we've seen people, the most I ever evaluated, Marshall, was 90 products in 2 hours. 90 products. And
that's a lot of products.
That's too much. It's too much. Your brain would just go trying to do all that.
And a confused mind doesn't make any choice.
Exactly.
So you're about to say if you have too many products, you got to focus.
You got to focus. You got to pull it back in. We just were advising somebody who's launching a doll line and they're thinking they have 12 to 15 SKUs, which are styles. Think of it, styles. Different and I'm products. Like, we need to pull that back to like 8. Because it's when you launch too many, my personal belief is you lose focus. You spread your money out of too many, over too many things. And usually you run out of marketing dollars.
Yep.
So, yeah.
I would agree. Part of the process of getting people to make decisions quickly is a training cycle. So it's very much what Amazon has used so brilliantly. They don't offer you the options of what else you could buy until you've made a purchase. They know that if they offer you the options, you know, someone who bought this also bought these things, the challenge is going to be, you're going to go, oh, heck, maybe I should buy those. Oh, maybe I shouldn't buy anything. Now I don't know. And I think that that's the bigger challenge for people is the consumer. I tell people this all the time, and some people think I'm insulting people, and I'm not. The consumer is a bright 7-year-old. That's all they are. They're not smarter than that. They're a bright 7-year-old. They're not stupid, but they're also simple. They're not stupid, but they're simple. And the more you can, in my opinion, simplify their decision-making process, the more likely they are to make a decision. How much of what you do goes into that simplification? Kind of like the sugar thing. When you were talking about the lack of sugar in that nut drink, I was reminded of Red Bull. I've never liked Red Bull. I've never drank. Maybe I've had one or two, but it was just enough for me to go, this is horrid. Why would anybody drink this? I feel like crap. It tastes like crap. And then there's people that you know, down six Red Bulls a day. And the video I saw was somebody talking about they intentionally made it taste bad. I'm going, wow, what a concept. Mm-hmm. You make it taste bad, but you make, and what they were saying is when you make the other benefit so great, they almost feel like they're champions for enduring whatever that negative element was. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think we're having a little bit of a lag time in internet. You know, there's a lot of psychology to packaging, and there's a lot of psychology to positioning a product. And that's really what you're talking about, that badge of honor of like, I triumphed, you know, I'm like, I can muscle through that, is part of what Red Bull's using. And it's working for them, obviously, very, very well. I think that when you're positioning a product, looking at who do you want to be, right? What's the logo look like? This one, we knew we had to get speed in there. We wanted it to feel immediate. It was really important. And I think that using your visuals to communicate those kind of things really works. So it's a massive opportunity that most people underutilize.
Talk to me about unique marketing propositions or unique selling propositions. The thing, you take a look at a product that maybe there's a substantial amount of competition in the marketplace. And you say, hey, you know, we've got to figure out what makes this different. How do you go about helping somebody discover their UMP or their USP, unique selling proposition?
Sometimes it's the way you're pulling components together and what you're wrapping around them, right? The delivery mechanism. So we tend to look at it like, okay, well, what's the goal? What's the objective that you have? Obviously, in a business, the nature of business is that you want to make money. You want to make sales. It's about converting somebody to a customer and then retaining the customer as long as you can, right? So what is the first offer? You know, I know you talk about this. You've mentioned ascension models and things. It's the same, right? Like, what's the first offer that gets through people's resistance so that they can continue to do business with you, right? Like, we have different levels of offers at different price points, at different types of delivery, and that works really well. So a trial on your product can be really great if you've got the ability to do that. Bundling can be really great. It depends on the product. So I really believe that how you ascend people through a line is really important, because it creates client lifetime value. So your unique selling proposition is related to how is that product good for that person, right? Here in the US, we love to buy things. Like, I don't like to be sold things, but I love to buy things, right? And I know that you're a master at sales as well. And I know you've said you like to buy things, right?
I do.
But you don't like being sold, right? That
actually, I'm different that way. I like being sold. I like that process, because much like an athlete likes watching another athlete that's really good, I like that process. So,
yeah, you know, just it's funny that you say that, because on Sunday, my husband and I were in this Zoom call. It was a sales call, and we found ourselves both observing the sales process, because he was a senior sales trainer for a long time. So at the end of their sales presentation, we were just like, wow, we just got to tell you, that was a really good presentation. Love how you embedded this and did that. And so anyway, a little segue there. Yeah. People that like.
So you're saying you like being sold.
I love masterful sales. I love it.
Yep.
You know? But unique selling proposition really is about what is the space that you can own? How are you unique? And sometimes it's the message. Sometimes it's the package. Sometimes it's a price point. And if you can pull, when you pull all of those things together, that's how you win.
I have a concept that I believe that not a whole lot of people subscribe to. And that is, I like selling to people who have already bought that product type from someone else. And the reason, especially in my field, in the information marketing field, the seminar business, education business, especially people that have bought other training seminars and maybe not gotten a result from that. I know that that's a part of the decision-making process of whether or not somebody's going to buy my product. So if I ignore it and pretend like they didn't buy something similar to what I'm selling and then not use it, if I don't address that fully, then it's the elephant in the room. The moment I address it fully, hey, you know, who here has bought products, seminars, trainings, books, tapes, videos at some other time and you didn't use them? Please admit that to me. And that's everybody. But then I say, I'm here to protect that investment. So it's kind of like, you know, if I'm teaching one of my students who sells water purification systems, he says, I can't compete, Marshall. All the systems are the same. We get them all from the same Chinese manufacturer. Then what you just described was, then you can't compete on the product. You've got to compete on the offer. You know, what are you including? You got to compete on deliverability. I just ordered a protector for my iPad, a new protector for my iPad that feels like paper. It's called Paper-like. And I just ordered it, and there were two options. One, I could get it this morning for $8.88, or I could have got it yesterday at 3 o'clock for $40. And right. I got to admit, I'm one of those people that I normally would have just said, just get it for me. $40. I don't care. I want it now. And so I think that is a major appeal that people don't realize is that power of now. I get it now. I mean, it built Domino's Pizza. It built numerous brands. Mm-hmm. It built Amazon. And so I think that, you know, speed of delivery is one of those massive appeals. What might some other appeals be?
Well, speed of delivery actually is a massive appeal. There's metrics that we've tested on the same offer. If you raise the price a little bit, but you promise faster delivery, statistically, you'll do better.
Uber Eats right now. If you order something on Uber Eats, they'll tell you the standard delivery time, and then they'll show you rush delivery time, but it's only 5 minutes faster. It's right. Not like 20 minutes faster. It's 5 minutes faster for $3.99, $4. And the number of times I've clicked that because I didn't want everybody else's order to slow it down worse than 5 minutes. And then when it comes, when does it come? Mm-hmm. Right when standard delivery said it was going to. But again, you know, I think that that's such an appealing thing to people, that if that was the one thing they thought about, how can I get it in the consumer's hands easier, faster, more conveniently, they'd win.
Yeah, the easier is a big one. Faster is a big one. And meet their expectation. You know, what can they count on you for, right? You know, FedEx, their old slogan, right? When it absolutely has to be there overnight. That's what you were going to choose. That's how they cannibalized the U.S. Postal Service. Like, we didn't all know that we needed packages overnight until Fred Smith said, yeah, you need packages overnight, and here's how we're going to do it. So I think speed is always a big thing, but reviews on the product, massive, massive, massive value. When you have good reviews, it's going to go a long way, because there is the, how do you get through the clutter? How do you get through the noise? One of the things that we all do, like anywhere we're shopping, that third party credibility of your friend said it was good, so they sent you the link, or they sent you to XYZ store to get it, matters. So
yeah.
Reviews.
Please. Yeah. Even your website, again, this is our first meeting, but I obviously went to your website in anticipation of you being on the show. And I see two of the people that I'm looking at on your reviews are my students, and I love them. In fact, one of them's listening right now. I saw her say hello to you in the chat, Melissa Siegler. And when I look at that, obviously she didn't tell me to come here. I just came here. If I see her, it's done. You're great. By the way, for people watching, because client testimonials and reviews are so important, I've seen this format of what our clients say about us on other sites. What platform is that?
Oh, that's actually a widget that's built into our CRM system. So there's a lot of different ways you can do that. You can embed those reviews and testimonials through some JavaScript. You can use some HTML. I am not the technical person in our business, right? That's
clearly,
not my
Amy.
Not my seat, right?
I'm teasing you. All good.
Yeah, but it really does make a difference. And we recently added that feature and integrated it. And so now our reviews come in through Google Review. They come in through Facebook. And that's actually, it's automated.
It just does it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So speed, reviews, that third-party credibility. That's why videos of user-generated content in your social media can really, really help. And think through the journey of the person that you're selling to would be the other tip that I would recommend. Like, who are they? What matters to them? Conversation in their head at 2 a.m. How are they talking about it? I'd love to talk a little bit about AI, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, please.
I think this is one of the most underutilized early edge opportunities for most of your listeners. And I can say that with absolute confidence because we've been blending people's brand identity into an AI master prompt. And the quality of the content is light years different than when you use it the way most people are using it, which was just sort of throw something in there. Really, ChatGPT and all the other AI systems, you know, if you look at Gemini, if you look at DALL-E, all of that, they're like the world's best intern. But they're an intern. You got to train them. You got to actually tell them, right? And so if you think about trying to have a teenager do something or a brand new college student try to do something, you actually have to lead it and tell it what you need and give it information about you. So bringing your brand identity in is really important. How the tone that you talk in and any little verbal quirks that you have. There's a lot of different tools you can use and can go into that. I'm really big on AI. I'm really big on ChatGPT. We've used Claude. We used Bard. We've used Jasper. We've like, hey, Jen, we've got Opus Clip, all that. So when you're looking at the portfolio of tools that you could use in your business, I'd really encourage you to look first at what's the result you're trying to create. How do you get, like, what are you trying to create? Determines whether you're going to go into your toolbox and get a screwdriver or a hammer, right? It's the same. They're just different kinds of tools. But yeah, have you been experimenting at all with any of the AI pieces?
Very little. So that's the reason I was about to ask you, what kind of tasks or what kind of things are you leveraging your AI tools for right now?
Oh my gosh. Focus groups, like running a virtual focus group through using customer avatars. That sounds like a really fancy way to say it. It's basically we have kind of personas of who is most likely to buy different products. And then we actually ask the AI what their objections would be to buy. Some of the other things.
So it's kind of an artificial mastermind.
Email. Yeah, it can be. And we've used it to create marketing calendars for a month, create scripts for YouTube shorts, Instagram reels. And when you think about Facebook posts, like all of it can be done through that. And you need to still be engaged. It's not it replacing you. It's your great assistant.
Awesome. Hey, it's been great having you on the show. Where do people find out more about you and what, you know, how do they find you on social media?
Yeah, I'd be absolutely happy to talk to anybody who's got a product. You got a product question, even your daughter, Prosperity, if she wants to have a chat.
Oh, we're definitely going to take you up on it.
Yeah, just go to the website, products2profits.com. That's products2, which is T-O, profits.com. And in the upper right, there's a book a discovery call link. Just do that. And we'll make sure to give you some tips for where you are right now. And you can learn more about how we can work with you to speed you up and make it a lot more enjoyable to get your creative product out in the world.
Well, you're awesome, Amy Winslow. Oh, thanks. Yes.
I just wanted to thank you. Yep. Instagram, you can definitely find us there, and LinkedIn as well. So LinkedIn, just search for Amy Winslow and we're there. Marshall, we're going to be running a couple of summits that are multi-speaker events this year. We've got four scheduled that are That's awesome. About products and marketing and sales of products and services as well. So anybody who wants that, just go to the website and you'll get informed. Okay.
I love it. And I would love to assist you and support those, come out and speak for you. Anything that I can do to help those events be awesome. Because I agree with you. We're living at a time. Anybody can do anything. It's never been easier. You don't have to be a big box to launch a store. You can be a single parent doing their best to find a side hustle that blows up and becomes the next Amazon. So again, Amy Winslow, thanks for being on the show. You're awesome. And until we meet in person, God bless.
God bless you. See you, Marshall.
Thank you. I'm excited for a lot of reasons. What a great guest. By all means, check out Amy's packages and go to her site, book a session with her right away. I'm also excited and also a bit fearful. I've been in pain, and I haven't really been disclosing it as much as I've been in pain. My knees, ever since last July when I tore both of my meniscuses, it's been hard for me to walk. And I can walk short distances fine without showing a whole lot of pain. If I walk even a moderate distance, though, I pay for it for hours, even days afterwards. So I've been doing a lot of research. You've heard me talk about it on the show. And tomorrow I'm going in to get stem cell done on my knees. And two things. Number one, it means that I'm probably going to have limited mobility for a bit. It also means some slight changes to my schedule, and I'll keep you updated. Yes, I'll be here on the show live tomorrow. I don't know what kind of condition I'll be in after the surgery. We'll keep you posted from there. I'm Marshall Silver. You are totally loved. Make it an awesome day, and I'll see you tomorrow.